Well, I have two goals for us this morning, two goals for me. First, if you're a believer, if you're here, you've put your faith in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, you follow Jesus, my goal today is to convince you that you are dead, that you're dead. If you're not a believer, maybe you're trying to figure everything out, maybe you're evaluating your options. Maybe you got drug here and you don't even want to be listening this morning. For the unbeliever here, I want to convince you today that you are alive. Now, I know it seems like I switched those, right? Normally, it seems like it would be the opposite, that believers are alive and unbelievers are dead. But no, I meant it the way that I said it. Believer, you're dead. Unbeliever, you're alive. That's my first goal. My second goal is for the believer to leave here this morning and love being dead. That they would experience the fullness of what it means to be dead. And for the unbeliever, I hope you leave here hating the fact that you're alive and that you would know it doesn't have to be that way. Now, hopefully I haven't thoroughly confused you right here at the beginning, so let's go to the text. We're in Romans chapter 6. And we're coming out of a long section in chapter 5 where the Apostle Paul has been looking at the big picture of salvation. All people are born in Adam, under Adam, and because of that, we are condemned and we are sinners. And the only way to escape that condemnation is to be born again under Christ, in Christ. And so the way that you move from being born under Adam to being born again under Christ is not by being a good person, it's not by following the law. In fact, the more you try to be good on your own, the worse off you are. We are saved by grace through faith. It doesn't matter what kind of a sinner you were, it doesn't matter how many sins you have, it doesn't matter how big those sins were, God has enough grace for you. And the worse sinner you are, God has even more grace. And that takes us to Romans chapter 6. So we're in Romans chapter 6. I'm going to start reading in verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For the one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. How should believers think about their sin? What should our attitude towards sin be? In light of everything we've been looking at the last few weeks, it would be very easy to have an I don't care attitude, right? I mean, if I can't save by being a good person, if I can't be saved by following the law, and if God always has more grace to give me if I sin, why does it really matter if I do good or not? Why does it matter if I sin or not? I mean, if I sin, God has grace for that. If I don't sin, that's okay too. And the Apostle Paul says, nope. When it comes to sin and the believer's attitude towards sin, Paul wants us to do two things, consider and walk. Consider and walk. Let's look at the first thing, consider. That comes from verse 11, towards the end of the passage, where he says, "So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." So consider yourself. Reckon yourself. When you think about yourself, think this about yourself. You're dead. You're dead to sin. What is the believer's attitude towards sin? We're dead to it. And so the overall question from verse 1 is it okay if we keep sinning knowing that God has enough grace to cover it all? And the answer is no, because you died to sin. And if you're dead to sin, you can't keep living in it. So consider yourselves dead to sin. So we're going to do that. We're going to consider what it means to consider ourselves dead. So that's where we're going. Consider what it means to consider yourself dead. I want to look first at how and when and we died, and then look at why. So let's jump back up to verse 3. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? When a person is baptized into Christ, one of the things that it means is they are baptized into his death. Now, that's a very significant sentence. What is baptism? What does it mean to be baptized into Christ? What does it mean to be baptized into his death? Well, the word baptized, you may have heard, it's a transliteration of a Greek word. It means baptizo, right? Which is to dip under, to submerge into water, to be completely covered, immersed, right? And so Paul says here that those of us who have been baptized into Christ, those of us who have been put under Christ, those of us who have been completely immersed in Christ. See, when you call on the name of Jesus to be saved, when you receive him, when you claim forgiveness of your sins, when you put your faith in him, something happens to you. Like legitimately, like realistically, actually, something happens to you. It's not just in theory, it's not just in definition. Something happens to you. See, sometimes we think of salvation like there's a door with a bouncer, right? And if I know the right password, I can get past the bouncer and into heaven. And so we come up to the door and I say the right password, right? I'm a sinner, Jesus is Lord, and that's the password, I get in. The problem with that is you haven't actually changed. You just know the right things to say to get in. But that's not biblical salvation. To get to be with God forever, yes, you must believe something. Yes, you must confess. But you also have to be something. And the thing you have to be is righteous. So what happens at the moment of faith, right? You confess Jesus is Lord. You believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. When you do, God baptizes you into Jesus. He takes your life and he puts it under his, under Christ. We are hidden in Christ. And then you are made, by that action, you are made a new creature. So Christians are not simply people who believe certain things about God. Christians are people who have been formed anew. We have been born again. We have been made new creatures. And that happens by being baptized into the life and person of Christ. Now, you might be thinking, wait a second. You're talking about baptism here. I thought when the Bible mentioned baptism, it referred to like water baptism, like, you know, getting dunked underwater. But now you're saying it's something else. And the answer is, it is something else, kind of, sort of. Right? Water baptism is the outward representation that the person has been baptized into Christ. And so the biblical picture is you repent, right? That means you turn away from your sins, you turn to God, and when you do that, God baptizes you into Christ, and then the next thing that happens is you get water baptized to show what's happened. It's unfortunate that in our time, over time, I guess, it's not just our time, over time, we've introduced a separation between baptism in Christ and water baptism. In the Bible, they're pretty close together. I mean, you have Pentecost, right? The day of Pentecost. The Apostle Peter preaches 3,000 people get saved. They say, what do we do next? What does he say? Get baptized. Philip, with the Ethiopian eunuch, right? They're traveling through a desert. And here he is explaining the book of Isaiah to him and the gospel of Jesus Christ and how Jesus is the fulfillment of that. And then as they're going and explaining all that, he suddenly comes upon some water, and this Ethiopian eunuch says, there's a bunch of water. What can I get baptized? And Philip says, absolutely. The Apostle Paul, when he himself got saved, a believer named Ananias prays over him, and then he says, what are you waiting for? It's time to get baptized. So the biblical picture is, when you get baptized into Christ, you get water baptized to show it. The biblical posture of a believer is, I've been baptized into Christ, now I get to be water baptized. Water baptism is a command of the New Testament that is something of a test for someone who claims Christ. If you've truly been baptized into him, you will want to be water baptized to show it. If you refuse to do that, maybe because you're worried about what people will think, maybe you're worried about persecution because you're identifying yourself publicly as a Christian, but if you refuse to obey, if you refuse to get water baptized, that could be a sign that you haven't really been baptized and changed by Jesus. That's why I normally say when we do water baptisms, I normally say water baptism is the first step of obedience for a believer. So, here in Romans 6, when Paul says in verse 3, all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death, is he talking about the spiritual baptism or is he talking about water baptism? And the answer is both. We've separated something that shouldn't be separated. Now, all that's a side note. Back to the main point. Christian, consider yourself dead. Dead to sin. How do we know that you are dead to sin? It's because when you were baptized into Christ, you were baptized into his death. Through the act of baptism, you were put into and put under the life of Jesus, so that when he died on the cross, God puts you there with him. When Jesus was buried, let's read it. Verse 4. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death. And so when Jesus was placed in the tomb, God put you in him in the ground. So he was buried, you were buried with him. It's one of the reasons that the picture of water baptism is so powerful. Someone's put under and it looks like they're going down, they're dying. Because in Christ, we died. In verse 5, Paul uses a different word. So he talks about you're baptized with Christ. In verse 5, he uses a different word. He says we're united with him in a death like his. We have been incorporated into his death. So Jesus died, you died. Why? Because you were united with him. Verse 6 even puts it graphically. We know that our old self, the old man in us, right? We know that our old self was crucified with him. So you didn't just die, you were executed. Death is such a prominent theme in these opening verses. And we died to sin. We're baptized into his death, buried into his death, united with him in his death, crucified with him. Verse 7, has died. Verse 8, have died. I mean, you see death and died and death and died and death and died. Why? Why does Paul keep hammering home the same point? It's because he wants us to get a very simple truth. Death is permanent. Death is not temporary. Death is not reversible. And you, Christian, are dead. There's no going back. And that's a great thing. Because when Paul says in Romans 6 that you are dead, he specifically means you are dead to sin. Consider yourselves dead to sin. Why were we baptized into Christ's death? Why were we buried with him in baptism? Why were we united with him in death? Why was the old me crucified? Well, it's because, verse 6, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For the one who died has been set free from sin. So check this. We were baptized into Christ's death so that we would die. We died so that sin would no longer have any dominion over us. Now, it's important that we get this, because how we read and understand this really determines how we're going to read and understand the next few chapters in Romans, and it affects how we live our daily lives. Christian, you are not stuck in the middle between sin on one side and Jesus on the other, and there's a pull back and forth. That's not the biblical picture. Sin has no chains on us anymore. We're not chained to sin. We're not attached to it. You've been set free. And so sin can come up and entice us, like, hey, do that. But we're dead to sin. We don't do that. Sin comes up to us and acts like it's still our slave master and demands, you need to do this, but we're dead to it. It can't demand anything anymore from us. I think my favorite picture in this whole chapter is right here in verse 6, where he says, this old self, this old man, right, me, I became a new creature in Christ. And the old me, what happened to it? Crucified. There is no amount of the old me that is still alive. How do we know that? Because Jesus was not partially crucified. When I was crucified with him, it didn't happen only halfway. Jesus didn't only kind of die. He completely died. And so when I was with him, I completely died. That permanent death set us free from sin. And this is one of the main points of Romans 6. Most of the time, when we talk about Christ's death, we say Jesus was crucified for our sins. He died for our sins. And that's 10,000% true, yes, and amen, and hallelujah. But that's not what Paul is talking about here in this part of Romans 6. In this paragraph, Paul's not talking about Jesus dying for our sins. He's talking about Jesus dying to our sins. This isn't talking about Jesus taking the punishment for our sins. This is talking about Jesus taking the power away from sin. Now, we need both as believers, right? If we're going to be biblical people, biblical Christians, we need to understand that, yes, Jesus took away the punishment, because we couldn't do anything about it, right? But we also needed him to take away the power from sin. We need both. Now, if we need both, then why am I making a distinction here? Well, the next point answers this question. Before we get to it, believer, consider yourself dead. Unbeliever, I said I wanted to help you see you're still alive, and here's what I mean by that. You are still alive in your sins. And if you're still alive in your sins, then that means you are bound to sin. You are chained to sin. It is your master. You are enslaved. You're alive, but you're alive in sin. And you may or may not feel it. I mean, some unbelievers feel trapped by their sin. They feel overwhelmed by their sin. They feel crushed about it. But then there are other unbelievers who feel great about it. They love it. But just because a man feels happy and free in prison does not mean he is happy and free. Just because a slave can put a positive spin on her slavery, it doesn't change her condition. She's still a slave. The only way to get out from sin's mastery and sin's prison and sin's grasp is to die. It's the only way to get out from under sin's mastery in your life is death. There is no other escape. So we must die in Christ. And the way that we die in Christ is we call on him. Put your faith in him. And when you do that, you will be baptized into Jesus and set free through death. And this is why. Why are Christians baptized into Jesus' death? Why do we die to sin? It's the next big point. It's so that we can walk. So that we can walk. Christian, this is your reality. Unbeliever, this is the invitation to you. Look at verse 4. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. The old man was crucified so that the new man can live. And the same language is used. Everything we saw before about being baptized into his death, the same is true about his life, right? It's not like we die to sin in Christ, but then we come alive and we have to figure everything else by our own. We have to walk on our own power. We have to live in our own power. No. Verse 5, if we've been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Verse 8, if we have died with Christ, we believe we will also live with him. Just as we were with Christ in his death, just as we were with Christ in his death, we are also currently with him in his life. Jesus is alive now, which means if you are baptized in him, you are in his life right now. We are united into his life right now, which means the power that Jesus has right now is in us. That's why Paul prays in Ephesians that the eyes of our heart would be enlightened so that we would know what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. The resurrection power of Jesus is active in believers right now. Now, why is this important to know? Because normally we tie the power of God to the security of a believer, right? A Christian doesn't have to worry about what's going to happen. Why? Because God has them. They will persevere till the end because God empowers them. Again, 10,000% true. Hallelujah. Amen. But here it's tied to a different aspect of light of life, not just security. Look again at verse 9. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him, for the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Do you see it? Christ was raised from the dead and will never die again. Death has no claim on him. Death, he cannot go backwards. Why is that important for us to know? Because the death that he died, the death that he rose from, the death that he can't go back to, the death that has no hold on him, he died to sin. So you also must consider yourself dead to sin. We have risen. If you've been baptized with Jesus, we have risen from sin. Sin no longer has a hold on us. The reality, this reality that we are free from sin is secured by the resurrection power of Jesus. We can't be enslaved to sin any longer. Why? Well, because the life that Jesus lives, he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves alive to God in Christ Jesus. Do you understand what an incredible reality it is to be dead to sin and alive to God? Do you understand how amazing it is to be baptized into Jesus' life so that we can walk in newness of life? It means that our attitude towards sin is now totally different. Our interactions with sin are totally different. Christian, you are not a slave to sin. You are not bound. You don't have to sin. You are free. And the amazing thing to see about this in these verses, especially verse 7, that freedom I'm talking about, it's not the goal of the Christian life. It's the beginning of the Christian life. It's the starting place. It is for freedom, Galatians 5:1, Christ has set us free. Christ has set us free. Live as people who are free, 1 Peter 2:16. Freedom for the Christian, freedom from sin is what I'm talking about here, right? Freedom for the Christian is not some wish or hope for the future, it's our present life. And the point of Romans 6 and Galatians 5 and 1 Peter 2 is, you're free, live like it. Don't go back to slavery. As Christians, we don't have to fight to get out from under the authority and power of sin. Instead, we fight against sin because Jesus has already secured that victory. He's already won. We just have to live like it. Because here's the thing, sin is still in our lives. Sin is still present. Sin still so easily entangles us. Yes, the passions of our flesh still get aroused and enticed by sin, but it has no actual power over us. Sin is no longer our slave master. Now it's an insect. It's an ant. Now, I want to be careful, right? I'm not saying sin isn't dangerous. It's deadly dangerous. I mean, it may be an ant, but ants still sting and infest and destroy. Don't hear me say that sin is not dangerous. What I am saying is that sin no longer has authority over you, and you have divine power to either get rid of it or get away from it. Sin is still present. So what do? We kill it. Put to death what is earthly inside of you, Colossians 3:5. And we can put it to death because Jesus gives us the power that has already defeated death. No temptation, you talk about being tempted, right? No temptation has overcome you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. That's 1 Corinthians 10:13. There is no sin that can capture us. How do we know? Because we have divine ability. The same divine ability that beat temptation for 40 days in the wilderness. Because it's the same Jesus who endured that temptation is alive right now. And if you're a Christian, you are baptized into that temptation resistance. Now, Paul is laying all of this out because in the next passage that we're going to look at next week, he's going to say, don't live like sin is still king over you. Don't keep going back to it. But the reason I wanted to split these passages in two and really home in on this today is because I know there are so many Christians who walk around feeling defeated by sin. They wake up every morning with this resignation of, I'm just a sinner. I got this old man still inside of me, nothing good in me. I keep going back to lust. I keep being mean to my husband. I keep being lazy at work. Whatever their daily battle with sin is, what they do is they treat sin like it has all the power, and then they use the grace and mercy and forgiveness of God as if it's nothing more than a cleanup crew at the end of the day. But that's not how the Bible wants us to think about sin. No, we wake up in the morning with this realization. And I mean this. I want you to think about you. Wake up every morning with this realization. Maybe you need to put it on your phone, like title your alarm this. Maybe you need to put it on a sticky note next to your bed. Maybe write it on your bathroom mirror, right? We should wake up in the morning with this truth. The old man is crucified. He's dead. I am alive right now because the same power that raised Jesus from the dead on Easter morning is alive and at work in me right now. I am no slave of sin. I am only a slave of the risen and ruling King of creation who has left me on this earth for the purpose of proclaiming and claiming his kingdom. Now, I'm not talking about being prideful. This is about walking in the newness of life. So what you do is you get out of bed, you know, the old man is gone. The old man is crucified. I have new resurrection power in Christ. You get out of bed, you get your sword, and you get to work, eradicating or fleeing from sin anytime it comes across your path. And yes, sometimes we will yield to temptation. We're not perfect. We're not yet perfect. We're free from sin, but we're not yet perfect, which means we will still sin sometimes. But that's when we get to use God's mercy and forgiveness proactively to attack the sin. I've already been forgiven in Christ. I've already defeated this sin because Jesus has already defeated the sin. You have no power over me. You get tempted, and you say, "I'm a child of my merciful Father, and His inheritance is irrevocable." And if you do feel trapped by lust or alcohol or anger or drugs or greedy consumerism or whatever it is, you remind yourself, "I've been buried with Christ. I'm dead already. I've been set free." And here's the glorious thing. Whether you're fighting sin, whether you're fleeing sin, right? Both are good. You remind yourself as you do those things, "I'm not alone. I'm fighting sin. I'm fighting temptation. Sin has bitten me once again. What do? I remind myself I'm not alone. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, lives in and empowers me. God does not abandon us when we sin. God does not accuse us when we sin. It is Satan who is the accuser of the brethren. God doesn't condemn us at all." That's where we're going, right? This is going to end up in Romans 8:1, where there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So when we do sin, we have the Holy Spirit telling us, "Come on, I got something better for you. Don't go back to that. Walk in this new life. Walk in my power. Lay aside these weights and these sins that are clinging to us and look to Jesus." And so Paul is urging and teaching here, consider yourself, believer. Believer, consider yourself dead to sin. And consider yourself alive to Christ. So we have this calling. Walk in newness of life. How do we do that? We remind ourselves, the old man is crucified, the old man is dead, I've been buried with Christ in baptism, and I've been raised to walk in newness of life. The same power, the same life that surprised the disciples on early Easter morning is the same power that's at work in me right now. You are not a slave to sin. If you've put your faith in Christ, if you're a believer, you are not a slave to sin. Live in the powerful life of Jesus. Now, if you're not a believer, you are still alive in your sins, which means you are dead to Christ. You don't have access to this power, this life. But it doesn't have to be that way. How do you move from alive in sin to dead to sin? How do you move from dead to Christ to alive in Christ? It's by faith. I believe, Jesus. I believe that you really did rise from the dead, and I'm confessing that you are Lord, and I want you to be my Lord. And when that happens, everything we've been talking about happens. Boom. God takes you, and He baptizes you into everything Jesus has done and is doing. And you too can walk in newness of life. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that you would help us not just understand theoretically, but help us understand it at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning and at 11 o'clock tonight, that we are dead to sin. We thank you that you not only saved us from the power or from the punishment of sin, but you've also saved us from the power of sin, that it has no hold on us anymore. Father God, help us not be defeatist. Instead, help us cling to the life that is in you. And if there's anyone here who doesn't know you, maybe they do feel in bondage to their sin, and I thank you for revealing that to them. Maybe they don't. And Father God, I pray that you would show them that they are just a slave to sin, nothing more. I pray that even now, you would open their eyes, that you would give them the gift of faith, help them believe, help them walk in you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.